الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise him and we seek help from him. We ask forgiveness from him. We repent to him. We seek refuge in him from our own evils and our own bad deeds. Anyone who has been guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed guided. And anyone who has been misguided, you will never find a guardian to guide him. I bear witness that there is no deity except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a servant and messenger. O Allah, let your prayer, your peace, your blessing be upon your servant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions. In continuation of the series of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ethics, so we are now in Al-Madina. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is laying the foundations for the first state in Islam. And the pillars for the Prophet to establish this foundation was to build the masjid. And what was the first day he arrived, when he arrived to Medina, he started building the masjid. When he chose the location, and both the muhajirin and the immigrants and the helpers, the ansar, was helping the Prophet, and they were, even some of the helpers and muhajirin was trying to ask the Prophet to sit and not to make it hard on him and for them to do the job. But he said, no, I also need the Allah's reward as you, as much as you need. So this is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was setting the norm and was being an exemplary for his companions to work, and he did not put himself in a higher rank and sitting and just watching the companions work. No, he was working as much as he worked and even more. And even sometimes whatever hard on them, they will go for him to do the job, the harder job. So this number one was building the masjid in Medina. So the masjid was the first pillar in Islam to for the Muslims to do all, to conduct all the affairs through it. The masjid is not only for the prayer, but for all matters that the Muslims used to do, especially in the beginning, used to conduct all their affairs, and we'll talk about that later. And of course, Al-Quran al-Kareem was continuing to be revealed to the Prophet, and all the Muslims, and either the immigrants and the Ansar, was adhering to all what's coming from the Quran and obey it immediately. And if anything happened, they will just you would not be late to apply whatever comes from the Quran right away. As I mentioned before, when the ayah verse about prohibiting the wine and beer, all the Muslims throughout Medina threw out all their wine and beer in the street. So the street of Medina was full of wine and beer been thrown by the Muslims. And also the masjid was for to conduct the affairs of the Muslims, not only, as I mentioned, in the religious affairs, but also in economic affairs and in the political affairs, in the military affairs. So the masjid was the center for all this. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started the system to fix the economic problems that he went through as he went through any issues. So he was, for instance, the migrants from Mecca to Medina, they were poor. They did not have any wealth, they didn't have any land, they didn't have anything. They just came by themselves. So he made brotherhoods between them and the helpers in Medina. So now, to establish the Masjid, Al-Madinah, it was a great issue that was happening from the beginning. So the Muslims they knew about one place to gather together, to be surrounded with surrounding the Prophet, to hear from him about the rules and the regulations that they're supposed to do. So that was the Masjid was connecting point between all the Muslims at the time. And when they were building the Masjid, they were just chanting like poets to encourage them not to be delayed or not to be lazy. So one of these chanting was Allahumma la khayra illa khayra al-akhira faghfir lil ansar wal muhajira. And that was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslim was saying Allahumma la khayra illa khayra al-akhira. You say, oh Allah, only the hereafter, like the paradise, is the best. And oh Allah, forgive the helpers and the immigrants. So as they work, they was even asking for Allah's forgiveness, and they were affirming that the best for them is for the afterlife, not for this life. For this life is just like a bridge they will go through, either to the hellfire, God forbid, or to the paradise, and that's what they was asking Allah for. So kind of chanting was making them enthusiastic about what they do. So they started the Masjid, and they built it in a land that was one of the orphans in Medina. They wanted to give it as a gift to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam he purchased it for them. Even they tried to give it for free, but he did not take it for free. He purchased it for them, and all the Muslims worked together to lay out the how the Masjid would be built. They designed it in a very simple way, and he made three doors, one from the south, one from the east, and one from the west. And they had just the north side, which is at the time the Qibla was facing Jerusalem at the time. So he had that Qibla, the direction, and they had just they cover it with branches of palm trees and trees, and it's very, very simple. And they left the rest open. And when they change the direction of the Qibla changed to Al-Kaaba, so the situation was opposite. So what they had, this side that was, which was south, was covered. They left it for the group of Muslims who was called Ahl al-Suffa, the people of the Suffa. And the Suffa, these are the place where the immigrants who come to Medina with nothing at all, no money, no way of earning their living, they used to sleep there, stay there all the time until they moved out for whatever they find the job, or they go out to fight with the Prophet, but this Suffa, it was for the Fuqara al-Masakeen. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taking care of them, even taking care of them more than anything else, and inviting all the Muslims, the wealthy Muslims, or the Muslims who has some extra, to give sadaqah to this Ahl al-Suffa. And one of these famous Ahl al-Suffa was Abi Huraira. They were there. They dedicated their time. Even some of the inhabitants of Medina, they are not poor, but they like to go and live with the Ahl al-Suffa, because living there was a symbol of just dedication for Islam, dedicated to learn, to be nearby the Prophet, because the Prophet's rooms, wives, was around the Masjid. So they was nearby the Prophet to learn from him as much as they can. And this is what Abu Huraira was saying, that why he was justifying why he was narrating too many hadiths. He was saying that too many hadiths Abu Huraira narrated. That's because he said, I left all the worldly life. I did not go to go on the market, and did not go to do anything. I prefer to stay closer to the Prophet and to hear from him what he's saying. And this is the reason that he narrated too many hadiths. So the Ahl al-Suffa was people that was either poor coming, and their numbers was either going more or going less depends on the receiving, because after the Hijrah, many people from Mecca immigrated, and also other people from other places immigrated. Whoever want to join the Islam, they will come to the Prophet, and the Prophet either will find somebody from Medina to take care of them. If he did not find, he will just ask him to stay with Ahl al-Suffa, and he will take care, he will feed them, he will take care of them. If anybody is sick, he will take care of them also while they're sick. So this was his responsibility. And even to the extent that one time the daughter of the Prophet Fatima, she was asking the Prophet to hire some help, some servant, especially here the Prophet received some provision from far. And when the daughter learned that, she asked the Prophet to force help for a servant because she is working hard. But he told her, no, if I have extra, I will sell this what we have, and I will buy food and drinks and take care of the Ahl al-Suffa. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taking care of this Ahl al-Suffa to the extent that he did not give his daughter what she wants for the sake of helping these people that who come into Medina, immigrating and staying there to learn about Islam. Ahl al-Suffa, not only the poor people, but even wealthy people from Medina, and they have houses, they used to prefer to go and live that simple life because they wanted to live closer to the Prophet and to learn from the Prophet in daily basis. So they give up their houses, they give up what they have, and they just went there to live and to be closer to the Prophet. And even Abu Huraira himself, his mother used to have a house in Medina, but he did not go to live with his mother. He preferred to live nearby the Prophet in Ahl al-Suffa, and he was asking the Prophet to pray for his mother. Looks like his mother was not Muslim yet at the time. So anyway, that was how that the Masjid of Islam started. And what was around it, it was the rooms for the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this, if the Prophet was asked the wealthy individuals in Medina to build for him palaces, I'm sure this wealthy individual, they will love and they will be glad to build the Prophet the most elegant houses and the most elegant palaces there. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not ask for any, and he preferred to stay simple, to live in a very small locations nearby the masjid. So all the rooms of the wives was around the masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would just being closer to the masjid, so he will be in touch with all the Muslims and not to be isolated, no isolation anytime. And even to the extent that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to take Ahl al-Suffa and to feed them in the rooms of his wives. He, at the time of to eat, he will, so you had, sometimes he had up to 80 people sitting there in the masjid need to be fed, and he will ask all the will to be the individuals in Medina and Muhajirin is to take some. So if you have food just for two, take one with you. If you have food for three, take another one, five and six and so on. And after whatever left, the Prophet will take to his wife's room to feed. That was in daily basis. So you could imagine what kind of responsibility. Now the Prophet is responsible about all the affairs. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the leader. He's responsible about every individual in Medina to take care of all the affairs. He was a responsible leader. He did not do anything less than what he should do to make all his companions well to be as much as possible. And also not only for physical appearance and physical needs, but also for their spiritual needs too, because they were around him to educate them, to guide them, to tell them about the rules and regulations to do and what not to be done. Now, after they had the masjid in Medina, so one thing he was trying to find out how to call the Muslims to come to pray, because in Medina the Muslims, was some of them were far. Also at night, how to wake them up at night to come to pray. So what they did, they give suggestions. This sometimes things, is not, if it's not, it was not revealed in the Quran, So the Prophet would ask for opinions of the companions. So some companions were saying, let's lit a fire. When the people see the fire, they will come. That it was not approved. So let's do like the Jews. Use the book. And for the people when they hear that sound, they will come to pray. Also, they would not like to imitate the Jews. Also say, let's ring the bell as the Christians do. This also was not approved. So others say, let's have someone call for the prayer. It's time for prayer. And that was accepted. So how is that announcement of the prayer? Maybe you say, it is time for the Salah. But as soon as this was agreement about this, one of the companions who was responsible about making this announcement, he saw in his dream, between half dream, half awake and half asleep, he heard someone telling him, I will tell you something to repeat, to say when you announce for Salah. And what that was the azan that you just announced now. Just word but exactly like this. But at al-Fajr, Bilal ibn Rabah, he's the one who he added himself, As-salatu khayru min al-nawm, twice. Bilal ibn Rabah said that, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved it. So you see, the sunnah or the tradition, not only every word that the Prophet say, but also whatever the Prophet approved from his companions saying. So Bilal ibn Rabah said, As-salatu khayru min al-nawm, twice, and it became sunnah. Because the Prophet and approved that. So when there was a time to announce, as I mentioned, they were had all these ideas, but this was the announcement about the how to call the people, and the Umar ibn Khattab saw in his dream also the same. Somebody came to him, and because you know these Muslims were. Since they were calling for Muslims to come to pray, there were several of them. They were either walking in the streets or going in high hill areas for people to hear them. So several people used to go around and call for prayer. So, but when the Prophet heard that the azan himself from this companion, he told him, whose name is Ubadah ibn Samit, and he Prophet Muhammad told him, teach it to Bilal, because the voice of Bilal is better than yours. This means that Prophet Muhammad appreciated the good voice or the nice voice to be for the prayer, and this how Bilal was famous, that he was the muazzin of Rasul. So Bilal ibn Rabah, we'll talk more about the character of Bilal and even about the azan itself. The Ahl al-Madinah, the Muslims, get used to hear the azan from Bilal all the time, to the extent that later, even after the Prophet's death, Bilal stopped making the azan. And that was during Umar ibn Khattab, and Bilal traveled. During the Abu Bakr Siddiq, and he told, just quickly to mention about Bilal and how the Prophet and how the azan with him. Bilal ibn Rabah, when the Prophet died, he asked Abu Bakr Siddiq, and he told him that I would like to go out for Medina, because I cannot stay here after the death of the Prophet. And he told him, Abu Bakr Siddiq told him, who's going to make the azan for us? Then look what Bilal said to the Abu Bakr Siddiq. He told him, if you freed me, I was a slave before, and you freed me for the sake of you, then I will do what you tell me. I will stay and I will just obey you, and I will do exactly what you tell me. But if you freed me for the sake of Allah, so let me go for whom I am with. Let me go with Allah's will for me to be. And Abu Bakr Siddiq told him, I freed you for the sake of Allah. So Bilal chose to go out from Medina, and he stayed for some time away in Sham. And then he saw in his dream that Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, oh Bilal, what kind of a hardship you have between me and you? You don't like to come and visit me? So Bilal came to Medina, and when he arrived, he saw Hassan and Hussein, the grandchildren of the Prophet, and he started kissing them and hug them. And Hassan al-Hussein told him, "We'd like to hear your azan again." It was a dawn. And when Bilal said the azan, the whole al-Medina came out crying, because they remembered that was the voice that they get used to hear when the Prophet was alive. So this azan of Bilal was a very distinguished, and it was very attached to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because Bilal was the muazzin of Rasul. And even when during the time of Umar ibn Khattab, and Bilal was in Jerusalem, and then the Muslim was asking the Umar to ask Bilal to make azan again, because they missed that azan from Bilal. So, and he also, Bilal made azan, and all the companions cried, especially Umar ibn Khattab, because they remembered the time of the Prophet, that Bilal was always the muazzin over Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. So back again, just this was about Bilal. Back again to the Ahl al-Suffa, women from them, Abu Huraira, and Bilal also was one of them, Bilal ibn Rabah, and Abu Zar ibn al-Ghaffari, Abu Huraira, was staying there, so they would be closer, as I mentioned, to the Prophet, to learn and to educate themselves, and to worship, and also to be ready for jihad. Any jihad opportunities for them, you will be ready to go right away without delay. So أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. أدعو الله أن تكون هذه ساعة إجابة. Supplicate, may Allah accept our supplication at this time. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. So now we know that the masjid was the most important pillar in building the society, connection with each other, being close to each other, being to help each other, to know the news about what's going on. This was the center for the news, the center for the intelligence, the center for conducting the affairs, the political affairs and the military affairs, all what's related to Islam was conducted in the masjid. Masjid was a place, center for all this. And the Muslims was anything they want to do or to hear or to learn. The masjid is the place for great scholars that they graduated from. The masjid in Islam, and even some masjid nowadays, their mission is to educate people the true religion. They educate people not only about the religious teaching, but also about their worldly affairs too. So the masjid is a place for the most important things to be done for the Muslims in the Muslim life. The masjid is a place for the Muslim to go, supposed to go five times. So when you are connected to a place five times, and also there's many hadith to show the rewards for being your heart connected to the masjid. When you are connected to the masjid, go and come to the masjid, this means that the reward is a paradise. And also in Quran al-Kareem, in Surah An-Nur, Surah At-Tawbah, Surah An-Nur, one of the verse 108 from Surah At-Tawbah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا تقوم فيه أبدا لمسجد أسس على التقوى من أول يوم أحق أن تقوم فيه فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا والله يحب المطهرين. This means that the masjid need to be established for the sake of Allah, for the sake of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, And this is the place that you go to. And because at the time of the Prophet, the first masjid was in Quba. And some other people, they built a masjid, but their intention was not sincere. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet not to go to that place and even to burn it out, because it was not with no sincerity, and it was to do something to harm the Muslims in it. It was not for the sincerity or for the Muslims to pray in it. So this ayah is about the Masjid al-Quba. It was the first one, and Masjid al-Madina, that the Prophet, it was the second one, and both of them was related to this ayah too. And another two ayahs, في بيوت بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والأصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه, دي مسجد. يسبح له, you praise Allah in. يسبح له فيها بالغدو والأصال, they pray in the morning and in the evening, and the five prayers. So all the time this you go to praise Allah and to do your prayer there. رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. People who the daily life, the business, is not going to take them away from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid. ويذكر فيها اسمه ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة. So they remember Allah and they do their prayers and they give their charities and zakah. يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار, because they fear one day that where the hearts and the eyes will not sure what's going on just during the day of judgment. So they fear the day of judgment. ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them better than what they made, ويزيدهم فضله, even more. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying more, this means that you hearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most generous. This means that يزيدهم فضله, this means that this ziyada, which increase, is unknown. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ويزيدهم فضله, this means the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase from it, and nobody knows how much blessing only Allah knows. This means that it's great, that you cannot measure it. You don't know how much is it. وَاللَّهُ يَرْزِقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بَغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give provision to whomever He wants. So see, the role of the masjid in Islam, it has several other reasons that we mention some of them, that is the place for the people, the Prophet to meet the Muslims, and also for the people who come in from far, they stay in it, and the people who has no money or has no wealth, has no food, to stay there, and it will be the place for the Prophet to conduct all the affairs for the Muslims and to inform them about it. And this is a new society, a new state that the Prophet was establishing, and that was, like it, as I mentioned, it was also a place for to cure the sick, and a place to conduct all the affairs of whoever needs help, they come to it. Because if you need, Muslims who need anything, they just go to the Prophet and tell him, I need to get married, I need to, and then they ask him, for instance, do you have anything? Say no. And he would ask the companions around him, do you have Quran? He said, not much. Even said, how much you hafiz. Also, they tell him, even with just surah. And say he will use this as a reason for him to marry him somebody. So Prophet Muhammad was just taking care of everybody. He was merciful to everybody, to all his companions. If they need, say, I don't have any food. So they say, what do you have? He said that, for instance, I have, instead of, as we say now, instead of giving me fish, show me how to fish. No, he was still in the, so he had something in house, something very simple, and he offered it for the companion to buy. Some for whatever reason, the companion bought that item, and the Prophet told him, go and buy axe. and he put an axe stick, and so go with this axe and collect woods from the forest and come and sell. So instead of going just to give him food, he showed him how to go and earn a living. This is how everybody would say it. Everybody will go to the Prophet and ask him what they want, and he will find a solution for them. And that's how, just some examples of that. To get married, to find work, to find anything, just to go and find a solution with the Prophet. Because the Prophet was their examples. The Prophet was solving them their all their problems solved. And they were accepted with no questions, because they know what the Prophet said. It's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's the best solution for them. So this is was an example. Prophet Muhammad was example, was example for them, and they used to look at him like he has the ultimate solution for everything. And I mentioned about the how the even the Prophet was chosen the people who has the qualification for the job. When they were building the masjid, someone came from far, just arrived to immigrate into Medina, and he found the way that they built in the masjid, the mortars was not, he did not like it. He said, can I show something better? And he did something that the Prophet liked, and he told him, this is what you do. He told him, since he knew, the Prophet knows that this person is good in something, so he assigned that specific to how to mix the mortar, how to put the rock, the bricks on top of each other. So he was given assigned things to whoever is skillful at. And now for the just before we since this is connected to what we're talking about, the motto of the Muslims, or the most important thing for Islam that distinguished that in any other religion is Azan Salah. No religions announce their prayers like Muslims do. So, and when you just take word by word, and from the beginning, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, this means that Allahu are greater than anything else, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be victorious in everything. So, and when you say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, this means that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, that's what everybody will obey. Everything under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command will obey. There's no control, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala control. In al-hukm illa lillah. So from la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu la ilaha illallah, that was you testify that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your commander in anything you do. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command you do, will obey immediately. And also, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. This means that you give the leadership to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all your affairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is your guide to the way to Allah. And this is nobody, since the Prophet arrived to Medina, nobody will challenge him. Because the Prophet is the commander-in-chief, he was the ruler, he was the leader in everything. Because Islam is way of life, not only for the religious ceremonies, but also for everything that they used to do. Prophet Muhammad was the leader in it, and he proved to be the most suitable leader in the history for everything will occur, will encounter the humanity. And even this was testified by even non-Muslims nowadays and before and then. So now, when you say Hayya ala Salah, this means that you leave all what you do and you go to pray, because the prayer is your connection between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come to stand in front of Allah, and the Salah is the most important pillar. Islam, because it was prescribed above the seven heavens. It was not even like revealed on us on earth like anything else. No, the Prophet, when during the Isra al-Mi'raj, got the prayer there, and so it is high, the most highest rank in Islam is Hayya ala Salah, Hayya ala Falah. When you obey, then you are successful. When you obey to go to Salah, then you succeeding. And when you say repeating again, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you affirming what you said. This means that everything is under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command, and this relationship with Allah, nothing can come in between. So well, inshallah, next time we'll address more of the issues about the society in Al-Madina and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam established all this, and he built a society that eventually the people that he trained, they became leaders. Out, do you spread the words of Islam? Do you spread the oneness of Allah outside the peninsula and reach from east to west and from north to south? Oh Allah, help us to purify ourselves in body, mind, heart and spirit. Oh Allah, do not let our heart deviate from the truth now that we have been guided, but grant us mercy from your very presence, for you are the grantor of bounties without measure. My Lord, help me to perfect my prayer and of my descendants. Oh Lord, accept this prayer. My Lord, forgive me and my parents and all believers until the day of resurrection. Glory to Allah, Lord of Majesty and Honor, and peace be upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family and all his companions. Praise to Allah, Lord of the creation. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي الصلاة حي الفلاة. كاتب الصلاة كاتب الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله إلا
الله. لا إله إلا الله. استقيم رحمك الله. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
ربنا لك الحمد.
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
ربنا لك الحمد.
الله أكبر
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 الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
استغفر الله. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you.